In the course of his preaching ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ very often spoke in pictorial, metaphorical, figurative language. For instance, in John's Gospel alone, we have him referring to himself using different descriptive terms, each of them prefaced by the words, "I am." And on a number of those, he referred to himself as bread, light, a door, a shepherd, the good shepherd, and the vine, the true vine. He often spoke in words that people could very easily identify with and relate to. He talked about seed, he talked about soil, he talked about sowing, he talked about a harvest. In fact, he even dealt with house building, and on particularly with regard to the foundation upon which houses are built. He spoke about salt. He spoke about light. He spoke about marriage feasts. And all of these were used to convey some very important spiritual and doctrinal truth that would greatly affect and impact the hearers of those words if they would be positively responsive to the teaching. One of the things that he referred to a few times in John's Gospel, and John being the writer of the Gospel referred to in the book of Revelation, one of those things was water. He speaks of it in here, particularly in John chapter 4 and verse 14. And I want to draw your attention to what he said about water in these words. Notice John 4 and verse 14. "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now the subject for now is the water that Jesus gives. That's what we want to think about for a while just now. I want you to notice, first of all, the significance of the water that Jesus gives. I need to show you the background here. We are told at the beginning of John 4 that the Lord Jesus Christ left the area of Jerusalem and Judea, and he made his way up to the northern parts, and he had to go through Samaria. In a sense, he didn't have to go through, because the route would have been bypassing Samaria. You may have noticed in the reading where it was said the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, and as much as possible, they would have stayed away from contact with them. But not on this occasion. The Lord Jesus Christ had a must, an imperative. It was not geographical, but rather it was spiritual. And the must was, he had to be at Sychar's well at a certain time. And the reason for that is, he had an appointment with someone, and that someone didn't know anything about the appointment. It was a lady, a woman. But the Lord Jesus Christ had purposed that he would meet with her that day and impart a great spiritual blessing to, for which she would be eternally grateful, though she did not know it at the time. Now, I want you to notice that the water here that Jesus began to talk to her about, he started off the conversation and he said, "Would you give me to drink?" And that raised a query on her part. "Why do you want to ask a drink of me, who am a Samaritan? The Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans." The Lord ignored that. And there's a wee lesson for us that are trying to win people to Christ in our conversation. Whenever they raise niggly things that might niggle you, ignore it. Don't be caught up with extraneous material. Get to the main thing and stay with the main thing. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But I want to say to you that the significance of this water was not literal. The Lord was not referring to literal water when he was talking to her about it. For this reason. First of all, there was no indication that he had any with him. He said to the woman, he said, "If you knew who it was who was asking you for a drink, you would be asking him for a drink." But the woman didn't see any water with him that he could give her a drink. So it wasn't literal water that he was looking for. And then she said, well, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw with. What she meant by that was there usually would be a vessel, maybe a jar or a cup or a vase of some kind that would have had a cord or a rope tied around it so that it could be dipped in the water and brought up. He had none of that. And yet, he was offering water. Well, what water could it be? She said, our father Jacob gave us this well, and Joseph and his children and cattle have all drunk from it. It's been here with us for thousands of years. She was as much as saying, what better water could you give than that? The Lord Jesus says, well, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but the water that I give him, he'll never thirst again. And so he was telling her, the water that I'm giving to you is water that is not literal. He said to her that if you took this water that I give you, you would never thirst again. Well, what kind of water is he referring to? Because we all have thirst. Whenever we drink of ordinary water, we will thirst again. What he's speaking about is salvation and its effects. Let's read the verse again. Whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That proves that the water he was speaking of was not literal water. It's symbolic. It's representing something else. And this is where the great significance lies. This water represents something that he could give that she needed and that we all need. Now, you know that water cleanses. Water will make you clean. Water will refresh. Water will preserve life. And it will give reinvigoration to plants that are dying off. If they get enough water at the right time, they'll be refreshed and they'll appear healthy again. But in this context of John chapter 4, water also satisfies. I don't need to have to tell you that whenever you're possessed with a strong thirst, something cold, tasty, even water, best of all, has the ability to slake, to quench that burning thirst. And so the Lord Jesus Christ referred to the water here with regard to that woman's need, because not only did she need cleansing, not only did she need renewal and restoration, but she needed satisfaction and longing. She had a tremendous need, and the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you have a great need, and I can meet that need. You say, what was the need? Well, think a wee bit. Noonday, the sixth hour, 12 o'clock at noon, when the sun is at its hottest, the Lord Jesus, we are told, came and sat down at the well, weary with the journey. Shows the humanity, the perfect humanity of the Lord. He was tired. He sat there. Why then would a woman want to come at noonday and draw water from the well when she might come at other times? Well, this is a very strong possibility. None of the other women would have wanted her about the place that would have been coming to draw water. They certainly wouldn't be coming at noonday. They would have come when the weather was cooler and the sun was not as strong. She was an outcast. And here's what lends weight to that opinion. The Lord Jesus said to her, we didn't read this, but he says, go and call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. The Lord Jesus said, in that you've said truly, you've had five husbands. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband. He knew all about her. That's why she was a moral outcast of society. And she was well known to the men of Samaria. If you read on down the chapter, we just stopped at verse 15 this morning. But here's a woman with great need and great longing. She could not find satisfaction in all the things in which she was involved. And the Lord Jesus is telling her, if you will take what I have to offer, you will be satisfied. And men and women, just the same today, 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that all the things that you're trying to satisfy your life and to deal with that burning thirst that you have day after day, week after week, year after year. You can't do it. You can't find anything that will satisfy it. He says, I have that which will satisfy, the water of life, my salvation, and all that's involved in that will satisfy your deepest need. Do you remember in Jeremiah's day when the Lord Jesus, or when the Lord God Almighty, was bemoaning the fact and lamenting the fact that his people are turned away from him? He said in the opening chapters, chapter 2 and verse 13 of Jeremiah, he says, my people have committed two evils. Here they are. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He says, you've turned away from me, the fountainhead. You thought you could get better pleasure elsewhere, but you're finding all that you've made for yourself. It's not there. It's fleeting. It goes through your fingers, as it were. Doesn't give you satisfaction. I must ask you today, my dear friend, how do you relate to this? Have you come into this church today with a great need and longing in your life that you're deeply unhappy? You're distressed. You have no peace. You have really no joy. You may have plenty of things that the modern man or woman will say, oh, if I had those, I would be happy with those. But you don't find happiness. You take the wealthy people, many sports stars, film celebrities, people that have done well in business. Yet, for all of that, for all of their wealth, they do not have that satisfaction that the Lord Jesus Christ can give in his salvation. But you may have it. He's offering it to you today. But notice in the second place, not only the significance of the water that Jesus gives, but notice the sufficiency of the water that Jesus gives. Notice his wording again. Let's get back to this text in John 4 and 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Three great factors in the sufficiency of this water, this provision that God is giving, this salvation that God is willing to impart for those who partake of it. Three tremendous dimensions to the sufficiency of the water that Jesus gives, the salvation that Jesus imparts. Let's look at them. First of all, it can be seen, this sufficiency can be seen in the assertion he makes about it. He says, the water that I shall give him, or whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. What a claim. What a statement. What an assertion. He says, you'll come back to this well day after day. He says, you'll come down at 12 noon in the burning heat, and you'll lower your vessel into the water and pull it up again, and you'll go back to your home in the village or the city. You'll do it day after day. You'll never be satisfied. But the water that I can give you, you'll be eternally satisfied in that you'll never thirst. Now, no water, even though we've already seen that the water from Jacob's well was deemed to be prime water, no water can ever satisfy the thirst of any man or woman, no matter how good it is. No beverage, no matter how tasty it is, can ever completely satisfy that thirst, because you've always got to be coming back to it again. But the Lord Jesus is saying, what I'm able to give you, you'll never lack or never want. Wealth cannot do this, my dear friend. I remember reading of a multi-millionaire, very successful man in the field of obtaining and accumulating wealth. He was asked, he never seemed to be happy that he had got enough, and his friend says, tell me, or tell us, one was speaking on behalf of the others, what would it take to make you really happy? He said, oh, he says, the next million. So on and on and on it went. Another old man who was not short of money, but hoarded it up, was miserly, maybe not to the point of having millions. But whenever he was on his deathbed, he became agitated. And the family noticed that he held out his hand over the side of the bed and started to rub his middle fingers. And they could not understand this agitation. But the son had an idea. He cottoned on to what it was. The father was always fond of doing that with the monetary notes that he had. And the father went to a place, the son went to the place where he knew the father kept cash on hand. And he brought a wad of notes and he put it into the old man's hand. And the old man began to rub his fingers or rub the money with his fingers. And then he clasped the money that he had and held it to him. What a way to die. On your deathbed, to be looking for and looking for that which never brings satisfaction. But my dear friend, the water of salvation will satisfy. It will not fail. We will sing in our closing hymn in a few minutes in the will of the Lord. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. That's how it is. Whenever you look to have your thirst quenched and satisfied by that which has not got that in it capable of quenching that thirst within you. The Lord Jesus says, if you take the water I give you, you'll never thirst. And if you receive his salvation, friend, you will have satisfaction. I can guarantee you that. No matter what trials you have, no matter what troubles you have, no matter what burdens rest heavily upon you, through it all, you'll have a deep, settled peace and a contentment and a joy. But notice another dimension here. Not only the assertion he makes about it, but the abundance that's inherent in it. Notice the wording. He says, whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. Now, a well is different from a cistern. Cistern's good, but as we've already seen from Jeremiah, if the cisterns are broken, they can't hold the water. But a well is different. It is always there with refreshment. Jacob's well was there a couple of thousand years. 1,500 years or so anyhow. And even though he gave it to his sons, as the woman of Samaria said, yet she was, and the other villagers and city dwellers were coming out day by day to replenish themselves with the water that provided for their needs in so many different ways. But the Lord Jesus says, I'm able to give you a well, even within you. And ladies and gentlemen, let's make no mistake about this matter of salvation. It's a personal matter. It's in you. It's not the externals of religion that counts. Whether you go to church or not, whether you carry the Bible or not, whether you read the Bible, whatever, all of these things are good in themselves. But the vitals of Christianity is what's in you. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I can provide for you that I can put it in you, and you will have this well that's always there, fresh and sparkling, giving you pristine waters of satisfaction day after day. And notice, it's personal. He uses the personal pronoun. He says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, notice the word him, shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him, there it is again, the word him. Twice he's referring to this well abiding within you personally. Young people, your mum and dad may be saved, godly men and women, but that's not enough for you. You have to have this well dwelling in yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ and all his richness and all his fullness for yourself personally. You can't depend on your mother and father's relationship to Christ that you be a Christian. And those of you who have spouses saved, and you're not, you can't count on your husband or wife, because he or she may be a Christian, to make sure that you're a Christian. It can't be done. Put you in a good position, a more favorable position, according to 1 Corinthians 7, but it can't save you. You need to have this well within you personally. But notice, this great sufficiency is not only seen in the assertion that he makes about it, not only seen in the abundance that's inherent in it, but notice what else he says. He says a word about the activity associated with it. Notice the wording again. But whoso drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Springing up. There's activity here. Oh, this is tremendous. Whenever there's a spring in the earth, it will find its way, no matter how much it's choked. There was a traveler going by. This was before even all modern machinery came into play, maybe 100 years or so ago or more, way back in the 19th century. And he said he noticed he was going along the road this day, and workmen were there, and he said they were doing repairs to the road in that day. But he noticed there was a little string bubbling up, and they wanted to block that, and they put in plenty of soil, and they put in stones, and then they put the ruler over it and got it in place. And they spent a lot of time on the road, but they wanted to make sure that the spring was not going to flood the place. It was all right for a while. After the workmen left, this traveler was coming back again, a lovely summer's night. He was coming back later on in the evening, and he smiled to himself when he saw the waters coming up through the stones and through the soil, and he could see the wet parts right around where the spring was. The activity of the fountain underneath, the spring underneath, was making a course for itself. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, if you have the well in your life, no matter what difficulties surround you, no matter what hardship you've got to put up with, no matter what you may be deprived of, and this is one of the reasons why sick people who can't be at church and who can't take part in the means of grace Sunday by Sunday, why they're still loving the Lord in their old age, you can't see them. But we visit them often and we know who they are. And we take encouragement from them whenever we speak with them and talk with them about the things of the Lord. Why? They've got a well within them. And even though they're feeble, even though they can't get out to the meetings, yet there's joy there. There's contentment and satisfaction. I remember many years ago in the hospital, one of our members here had an amputation in his 80s of his leg. And there was a man in hospital beside him, a good number of years younger. And this man said to me about the younger person, he says, I really feel sorry for that old crater over there. He's not doing good at all. And the man was nearly 10 years younger than him. Why? Because Billy was so youthful in his way. He had got the joy of the Lord in his heart. Even though a few months later, he had to go in for another amputation. I remember visiting an old lady. I was speaking to her daughter in the street just this week. An old lady, she was about 94 years of age. I went to see her, belonged to the church here, and I asked her, said, how are you doing? She says, I'm nice and comfy. 94 years and almost dead. I'm nice and comfy. What happened? There was a well there springing up within her, and she was finding something of the sufficiency of the water that the Lord Jesus gives. Oh, my dear friend, you're longing for happiness, you're longing for joy, you're longing for peace and satisfaction. The Lord Jesus Christ has it. And that brings me to the last thing I want to say. We've seen the significance of the water that Jesus gives. We've seen the sufficiency of the water that Jesus gives. Notice the supply of the water that Jesus gives. Again, we need to read the verse. And if you get nothing else but the verse, then a service will have been rendered here. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Notice, first of all, the supply of this origin. The water that I shall give him. You read on down this chapter, you see how this woman sought to sidestep things a wee bit, even though she was developing an interest. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain where she was. But you said Jerusalem's the place where God's to be worshipped. And the Lord Jesus said, believe me, woman, time's coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall people worship the Lord. The Lord's looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So what He's saying is, the origin of this water is not in Jerusalem or Samaria, the place where the temples were. There was a rival temple in Samaria. It's not in external, outward forms or ceremonies of religion. It's not in that. It's not in self-effort. It's not in you trying to better yourself. But rather the origin of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Not the church or the sacraments, but in the Lord Jesus. The second thing is, not only the origin of it, but its freeness. There's no charge for this water. Notice how the Lord Jesus says in the text about giving. He says, whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him. There's no charge for this. Oh, my dear friend, if you could just think of what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55. We'll show you the freeness of this supply. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. John 4 verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. It's the gift of God. It's free. You don't have to do a thing to earn it or to buy it. Its origin, its freeness, and then its availability. It's there. The Lord Jesus Christ says, it's there. It's available to you now, woman. I'm here to give it to you. Men and women and young people, this water of life, this salvation is available to you right now in the service. You don't have to go on a penance for it. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage. It's available now. You know what the Lord says? He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's available. Let me say it's available now. It's available with regard to not only the time, it's available with regard to the person. It's in him. You'll not find it anywhere else. The church can't give it to you. Religion can't give it to you. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives it. And let me add this. There's just one requirement. We've seen its origin. We've seen that it's free. We've seen that it's in the person. Its requirement is, you have got to take it. It will not do you. That woman coming down to that well every day to get the ordinary water, it was there. It supplied multitudes of people, millions of people of all ages, the ordinary water. But it wasn't going to do her any good until she put her vessel in and drew it up. You know that. If you're sick and the doctor prescribes, and if it's brought home to you, set beside your bed or wherever you may be, you know that if you take it, you will have healing and restoration. But it's not going to do you good sitting there. You've got to take it. And this is what the Lord is saying here in His Word. You must take this water that I shall give thee, in order to benefit of it for, to have life everlasting. And as you read the Word of God, you will find time and time again that the taking is associated with coming. I've already read to you from Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let me read to you from the last verse or the last chapter of God's Word. It's in Revelation chapter 22, and it's the last great invitation. Would you hear the wording of it? This is what we're told in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And John says, and Jesus says in John chapter 6 and in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The coming, the believing, the taking, they're all the same thing. Now the well is here. Christ is here in this room today. He's offering you this satisfaction to satisfy your deepest longing. It's in Him. It has to be in you. And it will be in you a well if you will yield your life to Him and receive Him as your Savior. The water that Jesus gives is everlasting life. It eternally satisfies. It's God's salvation. It's what you need. It's now available. It is in Christ alone. Will you receive it freely? Will you take Him? In taking Him and in yielding to Him, this well will spring up within your life and you'll never thirst. You'll not only be blessed yourself, but you'll be a blessing to many, many others. The woman did. We did not have time to read the story completely. But you read it. She went away into the city to the men folks. She says, come and tell me. Come and let me show you a man who has told me all that ever I did. Is not this the very Christ? She was so excited she forgot about her water pot. She left it on the well. Christ had come in and taken over and brought joy to her, salvation to her, and salvation to those men who came out to see what the woman was talking about. You can not only be blessed yourself, but you can be a blessing to others if you will receive this water of life the Lord wants you to have today.